Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses to podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And we are Ganbu. And I'm very excited for two reasons. Actually, three reasons. I'll say three reasons. First reason, I get to do this wonderful podcast with my friend Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Mike. I'm so happy to be here with you.
We have a special guest. Jip is here, but before I introduce Jip...
I totally thought you were going to list three reasons, and Jip was not going to be one of them.
No, Jip's definitely one of them. Jip's already getting griefed. And then three, not only has Squid Game The Challenge been renewed for a second season, but Squid Pro Quo The Challenge has been renewed for a second season.
Oh, dude.
By Embracer Group.
Dude,
let's go.
I'm so excited.
Big dub for us.
I got the call this morning from them. I said, am I going to get a pay increase? They said, no, this time you're going to pay us. And yeah.
That's the thing is, and guests have to pay double.
Yeah, so yeah, you guys pay double the rate. Actually, if the guests want to be on, they have to cover Mike and I's fees for that episode. So
yeah, that's how it works. So. But anyway, Jip, you may know Jip214 from our Discord. You may not know him. That's very possible as well.
I'm gonna say
that's actually more likely.
God damn!
It's
I'm so sorry.
Extremely likely.
But Jip is our friend, which I said that way better than I said it when I talked about Tyler.
Yeah, when you said it about Tyler, it did not sound true.
That's true.
I was like, Tyler's our friend.
Okay, my first thing I want to say.
Okay,
I want to know: do you guys think I did the finger thing, or do you think I not? Did the finger thing.
Ooh, I think you did. Because you brought it up.
I think you did because you brought it up and you want us to like be like proud of you.
Yeah, see? I fucking knew it. I knew you were going to say that, and that's why I didn't do the finger thing, dude, because I knew it. I knew you were going to fucking grief me about this.
Sean.
So hang on a second.
Execute Order 66.
My hands were in my pockets the whole fucking time.
So wait, Jip. Is what you're saying that we should be disappointed in you because you didn't do it?
No, I'm saying you should think I'm smart, and I knew you were going to say some dumb shit about me, and I had an insult planned. I was ready to go with something to stab you in the balls.
I don't think it's an insult. I think it's just you said, I disappointed you guys. I feel like that's what you just said.
You know, I can't stop you from saying that.
And look, Jip, we're not mad. We're just disappointed. All right, Jip, who the fuck are you? Can you explain for the audience real quick?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just a guy, really, but I stream on Twitch. I don't...
Get the fuck out of here.
I do a podcast with Tyler, the guy who was on a couple episodes. I really liked the first Squid Game. When you guys did the first podcast, like the, you know, Squid Pro Quo OG, if you will, I was really into that. I loved the original show, and... you guys flamed me a little bit because when this shit got announced, you were like talking about it, and I was like, it's gonna be lame because they're not gonna kill anyone.
Yeah, that was a really stupid thing to say. Yeah.
And
that was a really stupid thing to say.
I could have worded it better. I just thought since the stakes were gonna be so low that it wouldn't matter, but I'm actually really into this show.
I feel like the way that you described it just then still implies that you would be having more fun with this show if they were actually dying.
Well, I did like the original show better than this, so...
But okay, Jip, nobody died in that one either.
Little did we know, though, that people were going to act like they were dying no matter
what.
That's
so true.
They absolutely do. So, Jip, you have been hardcore carrying the Squid Game The Challenge Discord channel. Only thing you've ever carried in your life. I've seen you play Fortnite. So, I haven't been reading any of your opinions, because why would I? When you're going to be on.
Oh, sure.
So, you want to, like, summarize some of them? I mean, don't, like, just verbatim read all of them, but why don't you give us your thoughts on the six episodes so far?
Sure. I mean, where do I start? So, I think with reality TV show, there's, like, a very fine line, right? There are shows that are really well-produced, really well-made, and I think that's kind of a little cringe, but then there's also reality show that's just, like, straight-up trashy, like, not very good. And I think what you need to do with reality TV is walk the line perfectly, where it's well made, it's nice to look at, the plot is okay, but then also it's not taking itself so seriously. You know, you can laugh at it every now and then, and how absurd it is, like how we're talking about, like how they act like they're really dying, And maybe that was the direction or whatever, but it's still like, it's still something to laugh at. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it so far. I've been trying to follow like how Sean's been doing, you know, unlike Mike.
You did not break the rules.
Yeah,
you
unlike,
did not break the
unlike
rules.
Mike, I follow directions.
There are no rules.
You're the only...
I will once again remind everybody, there were no rules.
I the only guest so far that has followed the rules.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess...
Because there are no rules.
Yeah, so I guess it doesn't matter. But I'll say, so far, I'm 100% rooting for Trey. I hope he wins.
I'm on the Trey train, dude.
Yeah, I'm on MatPat train all day. I think he did a really good job in Five Nights at Freddy's. I really liked his cameo in that movie.
Here's the thing. First of all, spoiling Five Nights at Freddy's for people that listen. Bad idea.
First.
Second of all,
minutes.
Not really a spoiler.
Yeah.
also, if you're watching Five Nights at Freddy's, I'm sorry.
Dude, the movie was fine.
Are you okay? Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean.
Anyway,
Sean.
My point
Sean,
was
I'm
going to be
Fazbear pills. No, you're not getting around this.
Yeah. My point was going to be something else, and I've totally lost it.
That's fine.
I've
totally lost.
Right. Walk away with your tail between your legs.
I've totally lost the plot.
The Fazbear pilled people.
The Fazbear defenders.
I feel like
the furries, if you will.
Oh
no.
Yeah.
Although
you guys are
Chica,
dude. She kind of bad.
Go ahead. Say base, Jip. Go ahead.
She is kind of base, dude. And Mike's kind of base for bringing it up. I can't hate.
Anyway, Jip, continue.
Yeah,
your,
Sean, I feel
thoughts.
Like what you were probably going to say is you're going to ask me about some of the questions, like the strategies in the games, right?
Oh, I actually wasn't. What I was going to say is that I don't even think that as of this episode, like, or even the last episode in this episode, I don't even think the Trey Matt Pack comparison super works anymore. Cause that guy, he don't look right. I compared him to Robert Pattinson Batman last episode, and I think it only got stronger in this one.
Yeah, I definitely see it. The way he like his hair's getting all I don't know. He
looks dead in dead inside. Yeah. Like he just. I guess I could ask you some of these questions that I asked, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
So let's do it. What about the cookie one? So what's your strategy to get people to agree?
So. I think
and are you willing to take the umbrella?
Okay, first of all, like my hands are like chronically shaky. Like if I try to hold my hand still, I like cannot. Like I have terrible handwriting. Like my hands shake really badly, and also like my like nervous tick in a way. Like when I'm nervous, when I'm anxious, I shake even worse. Mm-hmm. So I know for a fact if I pick the umbrella, I'm out. Right.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Like I know they're like if you don't agree, you're out. You know the game's to agree, right?
Yeah.
But
the game is good.
But if I pick the umbrella, I'm dead either way. So what I'm doing is I'm going star and I'm going, I'll take second hardest. You two, you three figure it out. Right. I'll suggest they rock, paper, scissors. I'll suggest flip a coin.
So like the dreadlock guy.
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah. And I think I could, cause I think I can live with the star. And also I want to bring up as well. You're insane. If you think the circle is the easiest, like there is straight up no world where the circle is the easiest. The triangle is so much easier.
I'm glad you brought this up,
it's
Jim.
So
you
much
just
easier.
Came out
I'm glad you brought
swinging.
This up. Because we did a poll on the first episode where we talked about the cookie. Ooh. What shape would you rather have? And we have 40 votes. And 67.5% of the votes said they'd rather have triangle.
Dude.
Oh.
To a measly 25% circle. 5% star and then... 2.5% umbrella, and
what?
That's one person, and they are capped.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, that's
capped.
A lie. Why? I mean, keep listening to the podcast, but why would you do that?
For sure. And I definitely agree with what you guys said. The umbrella in the like actual Squid Game, it did not look like that. It was thinner,
and it
was pointier too. Like it looked way harder. But yeah, but I'm going for the star, and I'm holding my ground. I'm saying, okay, you three figure it out. I'm taking the second hardest, and that's what I'm doing probably.
Okay. So our second question was, we'll start with the, you know, if the player, one of the other players gets his big plate of fast food, are you going to be like a fucking animal and just go for it? Or
dude, oh my God, dude. When Jada took that burger, bro, I've been another contestant in that game. I'm literally walking up to her and I'm smacking it out of her hand onto the floor. That
so,
shit made me so mad.
I'm even more furious about this because, and not to steal Jip spotlight here, but I got my girlfriend Tara to start watching the show. And I don't know if you guys remember, but in episode 1, Lorenzo acts like an absolute psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hides food so he can get more. And then he cleans up like two or three people's leftovers. Yeah. He basically has like five pans of food, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the person who is the most mad about
this is Jada, dude.
Is Jada. And I didn't make that connection when we were watching it originally. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she has even a talking head where she's like, stealing food is so messed up. Bah, 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 mm-hmm. bah, bah. And then literally the next episode, she takes the fucking burger.
That's what the Squid Games do.
And I just, I'm so glad she got out. I'm so glad she got her marbles because I'm like retroactively mad about it.
For real. No,
anyway, continue.
No, it made me irrationally mad. And no, I noticed that when I was watching too. I was like, weren't you like just talking shit? Like you yoinked that whole ass burger. But to answer your question, I probably wouldn't go for it just because even, I don't know, those fries did not even look that good to me anyway. And like the people are acting like they're being starved, like they're being fed. The food doesn't look that bad. I think they're okay.
You've only been there like a day at that point.
Yeah, and they're already going savage. Like, yeah, no way, no way. Maybe if he was like, hey, do you want some? I would take a couple fries or something, but I would never like go up and just like grab it, you know?
I have another question though about that big plated thing. What is Drunk Jip doing?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm probably just continually asking for the burger even long after the burger is gone. I'm like, bro, just give me a burger. And they're like, dude, the burger has been gone for 30 minutes. And I'm just still like, but it sounds so yummy and I'm so hungry.
So if you're on the phone at the end of the episode, what's your play like trying to get somebody else on to get eliminated?
First of all, I don't even remember this dude's name. But he made a terrible decision in choosing something good and then going to someone random. What he needed to do was either do something random to someone random or do something good to someone he liked. He would never go up to someone random and offer them a treat. So what I would do is I would just make something up, but make sure that it's specific. So I would literally put down the phone and be like, look, maybe I have like a confused face and be like, 342? Like, just, like, pick a random number. Be like, that's who they want to talk to. Or, like, oh, I got the last prize, so I can't answer it. Or, like, I'm an even number, so I need an odd number. Like, something like that. Just make up literally anything except for...
Ooh, I got the last prize would actually have been a really good call.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Just saying, like, oh, it's they want to potentially do it again, but they want someone else to pick it up. Even that would have been better than what he did. It's a chocolate muffin. Like, dude, what are you talking about?
You want a chocolate muffin?
You
mate?
Want a chocolate muffin?
Yeah, ain't no
would
way.
You? I mean, we've learned about some
it's
psychopaths.
It's a chocolate muffin. It's not that serious.
Some psychopaths among us who would sell out their friends in a second. Would you sell out your friends in a second in that scenario? Do you think? Or
I mean,
or
okay,
what?
You know. Friends, I'm putting my fingers in quotation marks. I don't know these people, right?
That's true.
If I'm Trey and I'm coming with my mom, I'm not selling out my mom, right?
Okay.
But if I'm anyone else and I come in with no friends, yeah, I'm selling them out, dude. I'm never going to see him again.
But like, Mike said that he would have got me to do it if we had been in there together. Would you have done like that? Like, if you're in there with Swarles, right? Mm. Our good friend, and probably doesn't listen to this podcast, but good friend of the show, Swarles. If you two are in, you guys shared a hotel room. If you guys were there together, would you sell Swarles out?
I mean, it depends. Is he going to donate it to like a kidney charity or something like that afterwards? Because, you know, that...
he's going to donate it to the Super Spaghetti Bros charity.
Yeah,
fund.
I'm kicking him out. No, if it's someone like that. And like, honestly, if I know that they're like, you know, well enough off to where this isn't going to like. You know, their mom's not dying and can't afford treatment or anything like that. Like, no, I don't have a guilty conscience about that at all, to be honest.
Okay. You put more thought into it than anybody else, so I will accept that answer. People like Mike and Tyler who are like, no, in an instant, I'd kill any of my friends. That's like...
I mean, I could always just...
It's a little crazy.
Just kill Swarles and then be like, hey, here's 10,000 for when I fuck you over, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I get the
of this $4.5 billion, here's
it's
10,000.
It's not billion, okay? It's
all right, million.
Okay, that's a good chunk.
Sean got confused because isn't it a billion yen?
I think it is.
It's like 4.56 billion yen.
It's won,
which is
but
not...
I don't remember
won. Yeah, because
oh,
yen
right,
is
not yen, it's
Japanese.
Won.
But I don't remember if it's billion or trillion or whatever. I couldn't. Tell
I think
you.
It's billion.
Yeah.
Which. Yeah. Anyways, we're getting into the weeds here. And then I do realize that No, it's fine. It's crazy that I'm the one saying that, because I'm the one that always drags us kicking and screaming into the weeds.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah. I was like, that's so true. I have not asked questions for the last like 4 episodes. I've been slacking, so I don't have any other questions for you to answer.
All right, but hold on. Before we get into the episode, I have something to clear up here.
Oh, okay. Oh, is this... Well, I mean, I actually have 2 things before we get into the episode about last week. But yeah, one of them is...
I would like to say that I did not intend to gaslight people about the number of the old man in the original game. In my head, he was number 69. It was not until Jip brought up that, hey, he was actually number 1, that I went, oh. So I no intention on gaslighting. I still think it's a possibility that Rick shows up at the end, but my number connection was definitely a Kingdom Hearts theorizing video.
Oh,
sure.
No. Damn. That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah. Sometimes you get them wrong, you know?
Yeah. But, Jip, you kind of are the hero for coming in and saving the day and reminding us that, no, in fact, the old man's number was 1. The thing is, when you posted the picture, Jip, first of all, you did it really nicely, where you were like, the old man's, like, I don't remember exactly what you said, but you like posted pictures too to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I saw them, I went, oh yeah, that's the whole plot point.
Yeah.
Is that he's 1 because he's the first guy. I was like, I would have been way meaner about it if I was you. I'd be like, you fucking morons. It's literally the whole plot of the show that he's number 1.
Yeah, he's the first guy, he's the oldest, and you're supposed to believe that he was basically safe the whole time anyway. So, yeah. The first time he said it, I was like, I'll just let him have that. And then he said it the second time with Tyler, and I was like, okay, someone's got to tell him, because someone else is going to be way meaner than I am.
Speaking of gaslighting, though, there was a terrible, terrible tragedy that occurred in the last episode of this show that, Jip, you're aware of, but other people, you know, they'll be aware of it when they listen to it. Michael Spike Getty and Tyler Tylerims both tried their hardest to gaslight me into thinking that it is entirely one set that connects to each other. And I gotta say, the people have spoken.
Yeah.
The people have spoken. They're not falling for it, Mike.
That's not even what we were saying.
They're not falling for it, Mike.
There's no... No, hold on. That's not even... I made a joke later on that they walk through every game, but I was not telling you that it's all one set. I'm saying they enter from the stairs because you see... into the white room. Because Mike, you see multiple times, and even in this episode when they come up on the crane game, that they're walking down pink stairs and it looks like it's coming from that room.
They just set up pink stairs so you think that they're coming. Dude, I'm sorry. There is no way these Mickey Mouse ass stairs.
Hold on.
No way.
Hold on here. I'm not saying that they walk out of that white room directly into whatever game they're going to play. But I'm saying that white room is connected to the stairs room. It absolutely 100% is.
No, I don't think that.
I don't care what anybody says, because no one actually knows except the people that were in the game. So if Wildcat Diana says, Mike's wrong, I don't give a shit. Okay? That's not proving anything, Sean. If Trey joins the Discord and says, hey, by the way, they made us walk between multiple things to make it look like they were all connected, then sure, I'll believe Trey. All right, dude. But Wildcat Diana, over where she lives, is not even close. Actually, she's closer than we are to the set of the Squid Game, but still, she doesn't know. So I don't care what the people say, Sean. So you can take your little moral victory and shove it right up your ass.
Dude.
All right.
All right. My, if you're listening, dude, we want you on the pod. We need some explanation.
I do not want Mai on the pod.
Mai
is a backstabbing person. I do not want Mai on the pod. I'm team TJ, dude. Mai is ridiculous. Right.
Lorenzo,
anyway, we'll get into that.
Lorenzo, you're coming on the pod.
Okay, Lorenzo, I'm down. As long as he knits me an outfit.
Let's get into the episode. I think we've talked about absolutely everything possible.
So we last left off with Jackie making a decision. They basically had to start a train where they would invite people to continue in the game. 20 people were going to move on, 11 were going to be eliminated. And Jackie's about in the middle of that. And there's this Women's Alliance.
Girls Club.
where there's only 9 women left and they want all 9 of them to make it. And Jackie, when she got picked by Amanda, went up to Amanda and said, "Is it okay if I pick Phil and then ask him to pick a girl?" And Amanda's kind of like, "Okay, that's not what we talked about, but sure, do your thing." And so that was the cliffhanger. And she does pick Phil.
Yes.
Who seems like a sweet, sweet guy. And Amanda goes, "You can't trust anybody in here." Which is just ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Amanda.
Yeah, Amanda's the worst.
I agree.
She's not like the villain, but she's annoying. Her accent is annoying. Yeah. She has annoying actions.
You can't trust anyone in here. Like,
it's like, it's somehow worse than what Jip just did. Yeah. Like, it's just a bad accent. Yeah. Jackie whispers, "Please pick a woman."
Yeah.
And Phil wants to pick his buddy Sam, but he instead picks Ashley.
Yeah.
To keep the girl train going. But then Ashley, without even saying anything, goes, "I'm picking Sam."
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit, this woman's alliance is falling apart instantly.
I do think it's really funny. You know, a lot of them are up there. "This person's story really resonated with me," or whatever, right? They're giving a lecture on why. And then fucking Ashley just, 016. Like, no introduction.
That's my boy. So he picks 23. Who picks 51. So we're back on the lady train.
Yeah.
And then 51 picks 221, who is a male. And then he gives this, Haley's panicking because she's the only female left of the 9. And he goes, "You know, I believe in what's been done here today and representation does matter." And then he picks Hallie. So all nine women get in.
Yeah.
Nice speech
by
him.
I was so terrified she wasn't going to make it in, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just saying she needs to go all the way.
Lost,
you know,
Sean Jr. Now you have girl Sean.
I really don't want you to say
Sean
it like that.
Jr.
I really don't want you to say it like girl Sean. I don't.
Sean.
I wish you wouldn't.
So all 9 women get in, and we have 5 remaining. Trey is absolutely spiraling right now.
Yes.
He is like, the Trey train is entering the station. It's done.
Girl Alliance.
Yeah. That one guy, I can't think of his name, but that one guy looks like he's about to cry. And he does end up crying. But they keep cutting to this guy who's standing there, and he's
The guy, the last guy picked?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He is.
Or the second last guy picked.
Oh, James?
Yeah, yeah. 269. Yeah. Yeah, James. That's his name.
He is going, 269 is going to burst into full tears for this entire time.
He's also the guy that was, like, absolutely devastated when Rick got eliminated.
Yeah. Well, Trey.
So was I.
Yeah,
Trey picks James, and he goes, "My mom will kill me if I don't pick this person." And I'm like,
"Which?
When did we learn anything about James and Leanne's relationship?"
Yeah, none at all. Because Hallie picks 429, who picks Roland 418, who picks Trey. And Trey's like, you know, "Roland's my best friend now. Yeah, that's my ride or die." Trey picks, like you said, like Jip said, he picks 269, who's bawling his eyes out. And then he picks the one last member of the Ganbu gang, 31. The last Ganbu.
Yeah, dude. And he's cheesing the whole time.
He's always been a smiley dude. Like,
he's cheesing.
When they've done the Ganbu gang meetings after like half their team got eliminated, he'd still be like, "Yeah, Ganbu gang," like really excited.
"Shut the fuck up, shut
and I like
up.
It.
We're keeping it quiet."
He's like, "Ganbu gang." he's like, oh my god,
guys, this is so silly.
Dan.
I know, I love him.
Dan's probably the most notable person eliminated here.
Mm-hmm. Dan drops to his knees when he gets
like he's going to die.
Yeah. Dan, and then my 222, the guy that looks like Tom DeLonge in the Blink-182 video that says, what the fuck? He's gone.
Yeah, the guy who did.
Other than that, it's mostly just a bunch of men who apparently did not hang out with women at all.
Yeah, that's what happens, guys. Look, if you don't talk to women, you get shot in the Squid Game.
True.
I did think it was hilarious. Jordan was like upset he got out. That's 222. It's like, dog, you didn't even have someone to share a picnic with. Why do you think you have someone?
Right.
Why do you think you have someone to pick you, especially after you didn't have to play marbles? Like,
that's,
I don't know.
That's actually
it
true.
Just made me,
no,
oh,
right,
shit.
So we have 20 people left.
I do have to say, as we're getting to like through these kind of social tests. I know that there's no way that the second season of the actual show is going to take anything from this, but I really think the social tests should be added in the second season.
Yeah, they're good.
I think they're so fun. And especially if you're able to write them out and do like a scripted version of these, I feel like they could only be better.
I mean, I don't know that it's believable though that people would just pick people to die.
I think so. Like, I think you could do it later.
Yeah,
you can't do it immediately, but once they're like two or three games in, I think you can do it. Because at that point, I mean, like, look at how they started acting by the time they got to the end of it. Like in the real show, like, they're more buddy-buddy in this show than they are in the real show.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Like, in the real show, when it's life or death, they turned on each other so much faster.
If this was the real show, Brighton would have been, like, eating Leanne alive or something.
Brighton would have killed half the cast the first night in the dorm room at night.
Lorenzo would be wearing Trey's skin right now. He would have knitted a nice little shirt out of it.
Oh, my God.
Tell me this, Leanne. Where's Trey? And he's just wearing Trey's face.
It's me, your baby boy, Leanne.
Oh, my God.
You should have brought me fucking apples. Oh, my God.
So there's 20 people left. $4.36 million is in the piggy. I just wrote, people are crying for no damn reason because they all made it.
Yeah.
And they're just like absolutely bawling, which is the theme of the show.
Yeah.
We get what's up?
Ours, Phil gets a talking head.
Yeah. Where scuba instructor, like, Phil.
I don't like confrontation is the theme of it. It's like, I don't like fighting with people and I'm avoiding confrontation and that's my plan. And I'm like, bro, this is a fucking competition where you're fighting for millions of dollars. Avoiding confrontation is not going to help you.
Here's the thing, though. Phil seems like the most normal, nicest guy that we've
agreed.
Met.
I guess, yeah.
Maybe Trey, right? But, like,
yeah,
he just seems like a normal, chill dude, you know?
Yeah.
My feeling absolute waves of guilt for how she was treating TJ and he
saved her.
As she should. What a terrible person. I really hate Mai. Like, I really don't like her. And especially when
I'm a Mai guy.
The benefit that she gets for this next game, I just think, I'm not a Mai guy.
I'm a Mai guy. She tells TJ, I owe you my undying loyalty. And I'm like, guys, you aren't going to die. Like, yeah, he saved you from getting eliminated in like five. That's like, you know, in like a fantasy show, like somebody's about to get fucking ran through by a sword and some like knight saves him. He's like, you are my liege lord now. Like, I will follow you until the ends of the earth and I will fight by your side. It's like,
Sean,
it's not that
Sean,
deep, dude. It's not that deep.
Sean, you're not on brand here, because the clear example that you should have used was Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, the life debt from Jar Jar Binks?
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks.
I'm not a big prequel guy.
You're a Star Wars guy. That should have been.
I mean, is definitely like Jar Jar Binks. I see.
She is a lot like Jar Jar.
We gotta move on. We gotta move on.
Mikey. We finally learned Mikey's story that they were alluding to last episode.
He's got a nice one. Very heartwarming.
Yeah, he's got a child who's nonverbal, but she's, you know, developing more, and they're really excited, and he wants to be able to have money to kind of set her up. And all his kids, obviously. See, I think he has five.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to be able to, like, have her be set up for when he's not around anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really heartwarming.
That's definitely a thing. Yeah. So you can see why, his name is just Big Bearded Guy.
Oh, Phil? Or not Phil. Sorry. Chad.
Chad. You can see why Chad would be like, hey, this guy's story moves me.
Sam also has a giant beard. I see. Chad
Sam's
is Mikey's
skinnier
friend.
Guy.
I'm there.
Yeah.
He says, win it for your kids, man. They talk about getting a pint.
Yeah.
I'll send you a soggy envelope for the old-fashioned in it.
He's like, I'll come to Ireland. And it kind of sounds like Mikey doesn't want him to, you know?
Yeah,
if Mikey's like I'll mail you.
Like, if I'm available Mikey, that day, maybe you could come. But
it's like when Jip is like, hey, can I visit you in Tarrant, Michigan? And I'm like, yeah, sometime, Jip, sure.
Mikey wasn't like, yeah, dude, I'll fly you out to Ireland with my millions of dollars and we'll have a pint together. He's like, I'll mail you an old fashioned.
So they do this funny thing here where they like, they've done it a couple times. They do it fairly often in the show where they like cut to the control room and a guard hits a button and it eliminates somebody. But here they go, all staff prepare for the next game. And they show the bridge. And I don't think they've done that in any of the other games yet, where they just were like, hey, we're prepping you guys, like the audience, for what the next thing is.
Because they know that this is like the most exciting game.
This is
it's a
this
good
is
game.
The coolest set we've seen by far too. It looks so good.
Before we move on to the claw game, Squid Games, let's get this cash. If you guys are in the game, are you participating in this dance?
No. Okay. I guess if everybody else is doing it in that scenario, you have to, right?
No, because not everybody does. Some people are sitting out. The majority of people are in it. But I'd say like 15 to 16 people are doing it.
There's definitely
four or five are sitting out.
I think if more than half of them are like, I want to do it, I'll go along with it.
So you're doing the Squid Games. Let's get this cash.
Unfortunately, I think like to try and retain being liked.
Oh, so you're doing it for a strat.
Oh, I'm just doing it, so that people don't think I'm a dick. Like, no, absolutely. I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't be like, oh God, this is going to be so much fun. But I don't want like on the next fucking social test, I'd be like, this is the guy who didn't do the dance with us.
That might happen. You know, like
I took notes on the episode, right? Writing down like the things I want to talk about. I wrote down, I would not join this chant if they offered me the $4.5 million right there. There is no world I'm doing this. Let's get this money chant. Like, ain't no way.
Let's get this cash. So as they're rehearsing their routine, the guards come and they walk them into the white room, which is definitely connected to the MC Escher stair room. And there's a claw game that's revealed, and this is a brilliant way to figure out the order of the bridge, because if anybody's watched the show, they know the bridge is coming, and they're not just gonna line up, right?
No.
And or they're not just in the show. I believe they had mannequins and they just picked the numbers off the mannequins.
Yeah, but they had no idea what they meant at the time.
Right,
but they would know in this instance. Yeah, so it's really smart.
So they do the claw game, and then they do this smart social thing with it, where the number you draw is not yours. You have to give it to somebody, which is pretty brilliant.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mai goes first, and she gets number 4, and she says, I choose this player because I do not know this person. And it's number 77, Marina. Didn't they just have, like, an alliance at a girl's time where they were – Marina was laying in bed, obviously. And they like, talked, so I
here's the thing. Here's the thing. First of all, like, it's not for no reason at all. I feel like – like, because she's like, oh, yeah, like you said, there's no reason for this at all. Like, I get the vibe from watching this show that Marina did not spend much time with the rest of the cast.
Probably you know, true.
Like, that's just how it comes across. So I think, so I understand where somebody would pick her. That being said, I have to push back against any Marina slander for what she does later in this episode. Marina's based. I gotta say, there are people in this game that I have a lot of respect for, based off of their actions in the games, and Marina is one of them.
I agree. Saw in the thing before this too, the girl power team, you know, like that fell.
They all got through,
but not by their chain that they were trying to start, right? They got through just by sheer luck, to be honest, because a ton of men also picked women, even though they knew they were trying to do that. But so I'm not surprised by my picking.
I really like Ashley going, I just met this man the other day. But yeah. No, he says, I just met the man the other day. Like,
you met
like,
all yeah, of them the other day.
But no, I think that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, I think what she's saying is like, yeah, I don't feel bad about this. I don't know any of you people, you know? Like, I don't think she means, like, fuck this guy in particular because I just met him the other day. I feel like she was saying it more like, you guys are putting way too much fucking emphasis.
Right.
Because isn't Ashley the one who goes, this is all, like, when they get onto the bridge, isn't Ashley the one that's like, this is
yeah.
fucking stupid.
You
guys shouldn't have done that.
Everyone's got to play their
so
own game.
So she does at one point, but she's not, I know who you're talking
yeah.
about. I believe that's number 54, actually.
Okay.
That's like, you got to play your own game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't believe that's Ashley. But later we learn Ashley's stance on that whole all for one, one for all thing.
Yeah.
So Ashley gives number six or gives the six to number 31. And then later number 31 gives Ashley number five, which I think is really funny.
I want her right
like,
in front of me.
She's like lame. And he's like, hey, I'll be right behind you.
Yeah.
So pretty cool there. Phil gives eight to Roland and then Jackie pulls number one.
Yes.
And
what
I can't
a good
decide
tool.
If this is brilliant or she's just stupid. But
no, I think she makes the right play.
She says she's giving number one to TJ because he's such a leader and he's the only person who can lead us through this. When really,
I mean, that's a stupid idea.
Really, what she's doing is this guy's a really strong competitor, and I'm getting him out, but I don't want to say that.
Yeah,
I think she should have just come out and said it, but I think picking TJ was a very smart idea.
I like
TJ,
though, and I was so sad when this
I liked
happened.
Him a lot, yeah. But it's like, look, this is the moment where it's like, if it's you, me, and fucking, like, if it's all the honorary Squid Boys with us on that bridge, I'm giving it to Tyler, because if Tyler's behind me, he's going to push me. So, yeah. I'm... You know, it's like you got to look at it and you got to be like, all right, who needs to die first? And if it was us, it'd be Tyler, because Tyler will push everybody else off that bridge.
Dude, after this, too, we get a talking head from him and he talks about how he's like a giraffe falling is the analogy he goes with. He's like, have you ever seen a giraffe fall? They're like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like a giraffe because I don't fall or something like that. It's what are you talking about right now?
So, I mean,
I guess you
brought it up. So I'll say this now. The way they edited TJ in this episode is maybe the funniest thing because they give him multiple like hero moments where he's like, we're just going to charge ahead. And I only have to do one 50-50. I only have to do one. And we got this and attack the moment and da-da-da-da. And then
he just falls his first jump.
And it's fucking hilarious. I love the way they edited TJ in this episode.
Yeah, it's really good. I have to say about the giraffe thing, I feel like that's a pretty common like metaphor or whatever that people use like to describe just like really tall people falling. Like it doesn't look good. When you're really tall and you fall, and they use the giraffe comparison because... giraffes are tall. So I have heard that one before. The part that I thought was crazy when he was like, yeah, growing up in New York, my buddies and I used to jump
off
the gap
building.
Between the roofs.
Yeah.
And
but I fell in the trash. Like, I could have fallen on the concrete. Like, what?
Yeah. It's a very strange story he tells, which is oddly poignant. Like, like he didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, it's just very, very strange talking head. From
yeah, because I guess he's saying that talking head all the way at the beginning, isn't he? Yeah.
Right.
He doesn't know.
So it's before he's in the game.
Yeah.
Now, he probably knows about the glass bridge, but, you know, I don't know.
I did like the one person who picked randomly. I was like, that's pretty
fair.
Oh, the
eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The problem is he gives it to Trey.
That is the bad part.
But it was based that he tried to make it fair, though.
Yeah.
It's based that he tried to make it fair, and he did make it fair. It's just unfair that it's
our favorite character,
the Trey train.
Yeah. Yeah. The main character.
I'm copium,
of the show.
Dude. I'm copium.
TJ gets number 20 and gives it to Mai. And I just wrote, he's gonna be so fucking mad when he watches the show.
I literally wrote, when he watches this, he's gonna be pissed. I literally wrote that.
He's gonna be so fucking mad when he watches this show, dude. Because he's gonna see Mai be like, I don't think TJ has a good heart.
I don't trust his
character. And I don't trust him as my leader. And he's gonna just fume instantly, dude. We get a montage where they basically like show everybody getting a number before TJ gives my number 20, and they lead everybody out to the bridge.
I just want to say really quickly before we get into the actual jumping, I do think like TJ is pretty goated for giving the 20 to Mai. Yeah. Like he said that shit to her, and even though I think it's unreasonable, like in terms of, or not unreasonable, but it's unrealistic in the idea that like you guys, like it's weird how nice he's being to her throughout all of this, because like you guys just met. But the fact that he has continuously put his money where his mouth is,
yeah,
and has actually honored that is, again, that's one of the things in this show where like there are contestants in this show that I think are acting insane.
Humility and gratitude, Sean.
Exactly.
But, you know,
humility and gratitude.
Even though they I think are taking this, they're being very overdramatic about some things. Look, when you're a man of your word and that kind of thing, like that's good with me. TJ's the goat, dude. Rip my buddy.
Before we move to the actual glass bridge, I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts here? Like, if you're drawing a number, you know, let's say you draw a high number or you draw a low number, what are you thinking here? Because I'm thinking, if I get a low number, I'm giving it to someone who's already gone, because then they can't get me back.
Right.
And if I get a high number, I'm giving it to someone who hasn't gone. So that way, maybe if they get another high number, they'll give it to me. You know,
that's smart.
That's
the only other thing I'd take into consideration is how strong the player is at this point.
Yeah.
So like Jackie did giving TJ number one, and TJ had already, I don't think TJ had already gone, but
he had not.
Yeah.
Because it's a big point that he was number one and he drew number 20.
Right. Right. And clearly, you know, I think Jackie already had a number at that point, so it didn't matter. But he clearly wasn't going to give it to her at that point.
No.
So. I agree though, Jip. That's probably the most sound strategy. As long as I would just take into account, like, hey, who's like if Brighton's still in the game and I get a low number, I'm giving it to Brighton.
Yeah, you know what
if I mean? Get like one, I'm giving like it to that. Brighton. Yeah,
I'd agree.
Here's my question: when you get one, do you just burst into tears? Because I feel like I might if I get one, because I lost at that point. Like, if you get one, you lost.
Well, like, what I do is I immediately turn to everybody and go, okay, guys, so if we take turns going, we all get a 50-50 shot. You know?
Would you have thought about that?
I didn't think about that until they bring it up on the show. And I was like,
so
the competitor in me is like, that's fucking stupid. Don't fucking do that. Yeah, but then it's kind of honorable how
it's
the
very
majority
honorable.
Of the people like play along.
And, okay, so they play Claire de Lune as they walk into the...
I fucking love... Okay, this is... This is because I'm Danganronpa-pilled, and in Danganronpa V3, Claire de Lune is a pretty important song because there's this character who's a piano player, and she plays it. But I love when Claire de Lune is used in, like, dire situations. I just think it, like, works so... Like, the song's not... You don't think that when you hear the song, but something about it fucking works. Like, where...
Yeah.
Like, it because it is kind of sad, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of... Like, I just love that they use a lot of classical music in the original show and in the show, but I really liked that usage there, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah. And the room looks great. I'm under the impression that it's like a green screen or something.
There's
so
no way there,
you were, you looked before and Trey talked about it in like
in an interview or something.
How people would fall and they would crouch until they could get the shot and then they'd move out of the way. Is that what you were told?
That's kind of what he like the way. So the way he said it was that they would jump onto one, and if it was the one that was going to fall, they would be told to crouch, and then eventually they would get escorted to the other side of the bridge.
Which they make it look like it's a big drop. There's even one shot. I don't think it's in this episode, but there's a shot in like one of the trailers, like maybe the mid-season trailer, where they show a guard standing looking up at the bridge, and it's like 20 feet in the air.
So he did also mention a 15-foot drop.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there was a drop and maybe there's like rails or something on it. You get what I'm saying? Maybe they like CGI out some rails or something.
My thought is they like drop them into like a fucking airbag or something.
I mean, that's what like Mr.
You know what
Beast
I mean?
did. It was like a foam.
That's
pit.
What I would think as well. But the way that he described it, it didn't sound like that. So I'm not sure. Like, again, I was also doing it like.
It looks good though.
Very like I was watching the video and like trying to be careful not to get spoiled. So like
I might have missed like some
we could
context.
Talk about that more in the last episode, I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
or our bonus episode or whatever.
I think when we do our bonus episode, I'll try to go through and find as many like interviews and just like I know a lot of these contestants have like TikToks and Twitters and stuff. I'll do like a social media search or something and see if I can find any fun details to share.
So there are 17 steps. 17 50-50 chances.
I want to point out really quick. I actually did the math here. If let's say there's no 50-50, right? And TJ uh-huh. has to go the entire way, his odds uh-huh. of making it across are 1 in 131,072. Or no, sorry. 131,072.
I feel like that's better than I thought,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, I would have thought it'd be in the millions.
It's really bad.
Cuz that you're more likely to do that than win a lottery.
Yeah.
Ticket,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I thought the odds would be higher, but that's like better odds than getting a shiny Pokemon. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
they should make shiny hunters do this.
They
this
should.
One.
They should make shiny hunters do anything that has them fall
to their deaths.
To their deaths.
I agree.
I don't know why I'm throwing shade at shiny hunters. I'm sorry.
Anybody who's still playing Pokemon games at this point, I think they should just make them fall to their deaths.
Anyway, TJ gives a speech about fighting to the last breath, which I think is funny. And then like as he's like getting ready to like do it, I think it's Roland comes up and goes, "Hey,
yeah.
guys, here's how we do it. Everybody takes one turn. You pass the next person. 17 through 18, 19, 20, you're lucky ducks. You don't have to do this. But everybody else, then it's everybody has one coin flip, and it's the fairest way of doing it. And
what
most people are like, yeah, that makes sense.
Which is crazy. I can't believe most of them were like, yeah, because I immediately was like, oh, no, why would you ever
do
that?
Your odds are,
the same
your odds are
idea.
So much better. And unless you're like 15 through 20, your odds are way better, dude.
Yeah, it makes it way better for everybody except the last few people.
I guess if I'm early on, I'm definitely going like yes, and please. But like if I'm even 10, I'm probably
that's why
no.
I think also Roland suggesting it is perfect because he's like what like I think he's like 8, right? So him suggesting it for his own good, like he's probably gonna die if he doesn't suggest it.
Yeah,
but it also sounds like in a way that where he's doing it right now so they can maybe save TJ, right? So I think he's doing it at a great timing as well, based on where he is in the line. But no, this highly benefits like everybody except for like maybe the last 5.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but it's an awful idea in this challenge show where like.
Well,
yeah,
I don't think they were going to.
You don't want to take that
I don't think they
risk,
were
going to
push
you know?
Each other or anything like that. In the like it happens in the real show, right? Like
God, they should have. I wish they would have.
I just think, like, at the end of the day, people are still going to lose, though, Sean, if that's what you're getting at. So
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty solid thing for most people.
50-50 is not
I guess you're right. I guess I'm just thinking, like, if I'm, like, 7, I'm thinking, yeah, but what if the third guy goes through, like, 4?
That's so unlikely.
You know? Like, but not impossible.
Not impossible. But TJ...
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
So TJ... He's like, man, I only have to do one jump.
Dude,
one jump.
He's doing this whole hype thing, I'm like, I love you, TJ. I want you to go out so bad.
Well, I wanted him to.
Because it's good TV. The way that they hype it up and they build up to the moment where he jumps, it's just good television for him to fall.
Yeah.
Like, it is a good moment after all that build up where he goes. And they do instead of the glass shattering out as soon as they hit. Well, I guess in the actual show, it's not always as soon as they hit. But most of the time, it's like as soon as they hit, the glass shatters out from under them and they fall. In this one, they land. They stand there for like a good second before it opens up underneath them and drops. So I think it's pretty great.
So then Chaz is up next. He's number 2, and he also picks the wrong panel. So we got 2 of the 17 down with no people going
just
forward.
Just immediately.
And then up next is Trey. And Trey,
I love Trey. Yeah, he's like, they've got this thing I call higher number privilege. And I'm like, dude, he's so fucking right. Because they show the wide shot of him, and it's him looking at it, trying to decide, what the fuck am I going to do? And then all the
Amanda,
people that shouldn't
dude.
Be
it's
worried
Amanda.
Are standing.
What are you thinking, Trey?
What's your plan, Trey?
What are you thinking, Trey?
It is a couple people. Look, I hate Amanda as much as the next person, but... It's not just Amanda. There's like four or five people lined up there.
If anyone can do it, it's you.
If I could talk to Trey and ask him, who were you talking about there? I would bet money he's talking about Amanda.
Probably.
I would bet like large amounts of money.
Yeah, because Amanda's late too. She is a little.
And she's like, she's kneeling down next to him and like in his ear.
Yeah.
And she's so fucking annoying. Like, I would bet money that he's talking about Amanda.
Mike's like, and her accent? Like, no.
She
smells bad, dude. Her fucking breath's terrible. Like,
oh, hey, we don't know that.
But I don't know. I just think like he was kind of surrounded by like five or six people. And if I were him, I'd have been like, shut the fuck up and just give me a second.
So Trey gets rolling. He picks the right one.
Gets moving, and it keeps moving. It keeps moving.
And then he's kind of like looking backwards, and Marina's like, all right, Trey, my turn. He goes, you'd overtake? And she's like, yeah, if you ask me to. And he goes, yeah, go ahead.
Well, okay, hang on. So I think it's really important to me how this plays out. So he's standing there getting ready to jump, and he looks behind him, and she's like, I'll overtake if you want me to, Trey.
Right.
And he's like, would you really? And she go, yes. And then he looks back at the thing and like, because the way I read it, at least, is he couldn't make the decision. He couldn't make the decision to have somebody else take the risk for him.
Right.
And Marina goes,
that.
I'm overtaking.
We see that after this, right?
Yeah. And I think it's really important that Marina goes, I'm overtaking. Like, she's not... He doesn't say, yes, please do this. She says, I'm going to do it.
He
just
nods at her.
Let me
does
go.
Nod at her.
He nods
He like nods like,
but,
yeah, will you? Like, he does nod at her. She's not just solely doing it. He is consenting to her overtaking.
Yes, okay. I'm not saying she's like, get the fuck out of my way. I'm saying that it's not like...
She pushes the issue for sure.
She pushes the issue. She doesn't just like... I think a lot of people would have been like, I'll overtake if you want me to. And then he kind of just, if he would continue to stand there, they wouldn't move until, like, I mean, we see it afterwards. Yeah. They're not going to move until, like, he does something.
Well,
but
what's funny
she's
is,
like, no, I'll do it.
As she does it, you hear Ashley go, hell no.
Yeah,
nah.
Why you got to do that, girl?
Because, like, to be real, like, even after, so Marina is like, I'll overtake. She jumps. She dies. And so Ashley, I think, goes, Marina's stupid as hell.
Yeah, why is she doing that for other
but,
people?
Like, so, to my point, Trey has to do another jump, and nobody's like Marina. He stands there for, like, it seems like a while, and nobody's like, hey, man, whatever, I'm coming up to do
He's
it.
He's like, do you guys think I should
but
be
here's
number
the thing.
Three? And they're like, no, no, no. And then no one offers
He's
a
trying
jump.
To goad Ashley into doing it, but she's not going to do it.
She's not going to do it. But, like, I guess I'm just saying that's the difference between like Marina and it feels like almost everybody else there where like four should have just stepped forward.
I have context of seeing the next episode and I'll tell you that the next episode makes Ashley look way worse because she is literally the only person unwilling to do
this.
Dude,
I freaking knew it because, okay, here's my thing. I know I brought up the odds earlier, dude. So Ashley wants the game to continue as is, right? There's 13 left. If Trey jumps and he gets it wrong, her odds are 1 to 8,192 versus 50 fucking 50. Like, she's actually an idiot.
And I can't talk about it more without spoiling the next episode because basically Trey jumps and that's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, but, I will say, if Ashley gets out in front and somebody overtakes her, I'm going to be mad as fuck.
Well,
because if even when she wasn't willing to do it, if somebody's like, fine, I'll do it, even though you weren't willing to
Sean.
Do it,
no.
I'm going to be
sweet boy
so
Sean.
Because if I'm right behind Ashley, I'm like, no, you bitch. Fucking Trey is dead because of you. You're fucking going. Like, I'm going
to
be so
She did say
mad.
She wasn't going to move. She was like, I don't have to move if I don't want to. Like, she did say something like that under her breath. Yeah. And I was like,
so. This does not play out exactly how you're imagining it.
Okay.
But are you going to be angry? 100%.
Yeah, because this is the episode that you said you had to stop watching because it made you so mad, right?
It made me so mad I stopped watching it. I was also really tired, but still. I was, so that's the episode, is the cliffhanger of Trey jumping. Will he survive? Will he not?
Find I think
out next
for me
time.
This was
ah,
the worst.
Dragon Ball Z.
For me, this was like the worst cliffhanger in terms of like how it made me feel. Because like, man, I want to know. I'm going to go put the episode on as soon as we finish.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch the next one too. I have a question for Jip before we go.
Okay.
Well, first of all, Jip, thank you for joining us, dude.
Yes, really Jip. I'm so happy you're here, dude. This is the nicest I'm ever going to be to you.
Oh, wow. Jip, I think the people are demanding it. You need to try out for Squid Game Season 2.
So here's the thing. I was looking at this earlier. Auditions are up. People are auditioning right now for Season 2.
This is your moment.
I really think...
Do you know how hype
Jip
I would be to
Squid
watch
Game
you
go
on the fucking Squid Game, Jip?
I'm not going to lie. I really want to see you in the dorm with like everybody, and you're like, okay, guys. So first you whip, and then you nail it.
How to
you
hit
know,
the like gritty. No,
you do the gritty. You gritty across the fucking glass bridge.
Okay. I've been thinking about this though, like, you know, like, cause you guys, okay, we talk a lot about like, how would you do in the Squid Game, right? What would you do in the Squid Game? Whatever, right? And I've been thinking about, like, you know, who else could be good at it, right? Like, who do I know who could be good at it, right? And you know what I've been thinking, right? There's these conversations what? That some of the moms are having, like, oh, do my kids think of me? Like, are they missing me? And things like that, dude. Dude, you know who would be great in that instance? BioRoxus, dude. Because he just is able to absolutely...
Does not care about
yes,
his family?
Ignore his family and drop everything to go.
Oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
Not BioRoxus.
Oh, my
Jeff.
God. Dude,
holy
like...
Holy cow.
Right? You know Bio doesn't listen
yeah,
to
that's,
this, right?
That's like, the only reason I would say it. I would never say that to his face. But...
Jip, I really think you should...
Yeah,
you should.
To be...
I think you really should try out.
I don't know. I'm so bad under pressure, dude. Like, I know you guys think it would be funny. In reality, I would be Spencer. I would be the guy... crying
dude.
Vomiting on the ground because I'm afraid I made the people behind me upset at me.
Here's the thing, you will never be as bad as Spencer because you will not go on a talking head and be like I'm questioning my religion.
Okay.
you would not go on a talking head and burn every bridge you have in your life.
That's true.
Yeah,
because that's what Spencer did 100%,
especially as a Mormon going into talking very publicly, saying as a Mormon that you're questioning your religion is not a
right
not a thing that you do.
I don't know, Jip. I think you'd succeed. I think you'd do great, and I'd be very proud of you, even if you got out and read light green light.
And then, and I just want you to think about this. Think about the fucking numbers this podcast would get when we have you on as a guest after you're, like, in the top 10.
The top 10, dude. I don't know.
You're not going to win, but I'll give you, like, top 10.
That's crazy. Especially, like, I don't know. I'm so bad under pressure in general. Like, I don't know. I feel like I really would choke. Maybe not as bad as Spencer, but that'd be pretty bad.
Here's what I think you need, actually. I think you need to convince Swarles to go on with you.
Dude, if you guys could be like Steven and what's his fucking name?
Chase.
Who got out immediately. Chase, yeah. You and
Jip
you
would
and
be Chase.
Like green light. Swarles. Unlucky.
Just be Swarles out there. Oh, no.
I think, you know, okay, we're just getting further into the weeds of people that we know and nobody else does, but I really want, like... I really want Jason
dude,
and Carson
I
to
want,
do it.
Yeah,
dude,
no way.
I want SV on there, bro. SV would fucking kill it. He'd be making friends with
dude,
everyone
I think,
the whole time.
I think you, SV, and Swarles all apply and see who gets it.
I'd like to see the Chocobros do it.
Yeah, there we go. Aggro, get aggro in there. Yeah. Anyway, Jip, again, dude, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you if they want to, like, you know... follow you on Twitch or on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Jip_214 and I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/Jip214. I play a lot of shooters on Twitch, but I also every now and then I do some Mario Kart speedruns. I've been trying to do that more consistently. I've been running Mario Kart 8 and I think it's a lot of fun, but so yeah, check me out if you get a chance. I also do a podcast with Tyler, one of the guests from earlier in the show. It's a Adventure Time podcast called Adventures in Ooh. It's a monthly podcast, not my choice to make it a monthly podcast, but that is what it is.
Is it monthly? Because we did a little research and I don't know if it is.
It's monthly TM, you know, it's just the title. It's not actually monthly. It doesn't hold up in court or anything like that.
Okay. That's part of the, it's Adventures in Ooh, a monthly Adventure Time
podcast.
It's in a really, really
fine print. You have to.
Okay. Oh, okay. You got to like
that.
Get a magnifying glass. Okay.
All right, Sean, where can people find you?
Really quickly before, I just want to say I'm going to bring back the question, guys.
And
I want to ask you guys if you're, I want to say like number 11, we'll say. You're pretty far in the back, right? Are you taking that offer of 50-50? Like, and I'm going to also like, so I'll ask, if you're like number 11, if you're pretty far in the back where you've got like decent odds, are you going to take the 50-50? And also, if you get to being like second, like you're right behind the person going, do you think you'd actually do it? Is the real question that I really want. I don't know if people are, you know, introspective enough to know, but, or self-aware enough to know, but do you think you'd actually honor the 50-50, or would you stand there like Ashley and be like, fucking no, somebody else jumped. I'm not doing it.
It's a great
question.
That's
my question for you guys. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. I talked about last time podcast, Speak the Words. It's a Cosmere podcast. It's a book series. Very good. New episodes are coming out soon. TM. I'm recording one tomorrow. So you guys should check that as well. You guys should check that out as well.
And you can follow me at SpikeGettyBros on Twitter and twitch.tv/SuperSpikeGettyBros. And my brother and I, what most people probably know us for, we do a Kingdom Hearts podcast twice a month called the Ansem Report Podcast, award-winning podcast, by the way, so you guys should check it out.
Now, is that actually twice a month, or is that like Adventures in Ooze monthly?
Yeah, how far in the
it's twice a month. It's twice a month. Hey, you know what? When I pull up the AI article of top 10 Kingdom Hearts podcasts, we're number 4. I don't see Adventures New on in the top 10. So, just
and
saying.
And there's only 7.
Have you searched
for the BoJack podcast yet?
I have not, but I will say there are 3 people who on our Spotify Wrapped, it was their top podcast, and I want to meet you.
That's crazy.
10 best BoJack Horseman podcasts. We're number 1.
Dude,
let's fucking go.
I was trying to throw straight at you guys. I can't even. That's round of applause.
Let's go. That's right. The
number one
BoJack podcast in the world.
What is this? A crossover episode of BoJack Horseman podcast on according to podcast.feedspot. It is the number 1.
What this means, gentlemen, is that the BoJack podcast game is really dry.
also,
that show is not getting the numbers. So
also, there's only 7 on this top 10 list. And also, when I scroll down further, it says that the Squid Boys are the top podcasters. So I don't know.
We call ourselves the Squid Boys outside.
I guess that's true.
Squid
but how does it know?
Because on that Anchor or on that Spotify for podcasters.
Oh, does it say the Squid Boys?
This is so inside baseball, okay. But yeah, it says it's produced by the Squid Boys.
So also the next thing is this isn't very accurate because it says we only have 10 episodes out.
No, that's not true.
Which is not true.
That's not true. Anyway, Sean, we need to. I agree to end
this
podcast.
Okay, we do have to end
this
podcast. Yeah, I agree. Let's end it.
The game is to agree, yep. And I agree.
Hell yeah.
Okay, you also just stole that joke from, I think Mike made that joke a couple episodes ago. Anyways.
No, he's it's a reference,
yeah,
Sean.
Dude.
Yeah,
you watch Family
it's just
Guy.
Well,
then,
reference,
if that's,
dude.
If that's your logic, Mike stole that joke from the guy in the show, okay, Sean?
All right.
Yeah,
goodbye,
it's a reference,
everybody.
Sean.
Fuck you,
goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.